could put a lot less in, and over time you make a lot more. It's amazing. Anyways, I'm going to go on. But some of you who are older are going, I wish I would have started when I was 20. Because you're going, I don't have retirement. What's happening? Because that's the next thing you're concerned about. If I can go to the next thing, if I can make it move. Retirement. Some of you are going, I don't know if I have retirement. I don't have enough. Am I ever going to get enough? Will I ever make enough? I don't. And you start to get like a little anxious. And I'm sorry, it's Sunday morning and you might be worrying. And I know that you just lied because you said you were fine. And now you're worrying and that's a sin. So let's move on. All right. So, oh my goodness. And then there's the problems when you get old and sickness and disease. And I'm 45 and I just start thinking about this like a lot because my shoulder started to go. You know, I had frozen shoulder and I couldn't raise it above here. And now, praise the Lord, because of my shirt, I'm restricted, but I can actually raise it the whole way up. I'm not praising God that my shirt restricts me. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I can actually raise my arm and move it, and it's fabulous. But I start thinking about, as I age, what's going to do me in? Like, what's going to take me out? Financially, what's going to destroy me? You know, there's some sickness, and it's just going to destroy all the savings, all the retirement, everything else. Now you're more anxious. I'm sorry. Let's move on. Then there's the immigrants. And some of you, some people, they're just like the immigrants. Do we have to talk about that? Well, it's a concern. People are worried about this. They're stealing our jobs. But they're not. Really, they're not. But some people say they're stealing our jobs. We got to build a big wall. We got to do this. We got to do that. This is horrible. Oh, my goodness. And more anxiousness. And you're worried again. And you're sinning. And then we're talking about voting. But we're not. We're not going to talk about it. It's just the idea of bringing it up. Oh, who's going to win? Who's going to be? Is my guy going to be elected? Or girl? Because let's be honest, that's a possibility these days. And there's nothing wrong with it. Or is there? Oh, no. And then I need a vacation. I don't know about you, but after all of that, we should all just go on a vacation. Anybody, you want to just go to the beach now? Let's just call it done. We got hands up. Anybody else, hands up? Let's go to the beach. Enough of this. Let's just be done. And then, I'd like a new car. How about you? A new car would be nice. Some of you are like, well, I have a new car, and that's part of the reason I don't have retirement. You're a little overwhelmed again, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but we're going to keep going. Your mind is getting blown up every day. You're just, oh. So we need to stop and pray. Let's do that. God, we ask you to be with us this morning as we think about all these things that worry us and the frustrations of life. Open our heart to you. Open our heart to one another. Open our wallets even to recognize what's in them and what's not. But God, give us a generous spirit. God, as I preach, I ask that you would give me the gift of preaching. Pour it out because I need it, and we all need it for my sake and for theirs. God, give us the gift of hearing. Let us hear what you have to say to us today through my mouth, and may it be the words of Jesus, the powerful and life-transforming words of the Holy Spirit. May they convict our hearts and change our minds and give us hands and feet and hearts that are willing to do what you call us to. God, give us hearts for you. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue. I'm fine. Yeah, so what, a shark bit me. I'm fine. Come on. Really, it's not a big deal. Look, I'm fine. Now, I bring this up because I was on a bike ride and I was not fine. I was on a bike ride for the first time in a long time and not with my children, just me on the road riding, and I was... And I kept telling myself, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay, this is okay. I haven't done this in a long time, but I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be okay. And I'm riding up this little hill. How many of you have ever heard of Wheeler Canyon? It's out on Foothill. You know that hill? Some of you let out a laugh like, this is, what were you doing to yourself, Andrew? This is dumb. It took me a long time to get up that hill. A long time. I rode from my house and I went straight up Pettit. And that, I've done it with my son a couple times, but he always has to stop, so I have to stop. This time, it was the beginning of my ride and I didn't stop, but I was like, I need to stop because I haven't ridden in a long time. But here's the thing that we say to ourselves, I'm fine. And we keep saying it. And it leads to major problems. And one of them is this disease or syndrome called AMPS. It's a fun name, but it's not a fun problem. It's amplified musculoskeletal pain syndrome. So basically, this girl, she hurt her knee because she's a dancer and she fell on it wrong or something, and she had to get some therapy, but that pain led to the rest of her body, and I'm sorry to pick on knees because somebody has a knee problem. But moving on, all of us have pain and all of us have problems, but this girl, she was only 15, but she's a major, good, great, awesome dancer, and I'm listening to this on my bike ride and going, talking about pain. I've got pain. I've got lots of pain. My legs are hurting. My lungs are hurting. I haven't ridden like this in a long time or exercised like this. And it's like I have asthma because the first time I ride, I remember when I was in middle school and I started playing basketball and I had long hair. I had a mullet, okay? And I was just out of shape and the coach was like, "You need to quit smoking, boy." And I was like, "I don't smoke. I don't smoke." And I wanted to throw up because when I first exercise after a long time of not exercising, it makes me want to throw up. Like, it's just hard, but I have to work through it. Well, this girl, she was an awesome dancer, and she had a problem, and the pain spread from this leg to her hip, to her back, to her arms, to her whole body, and she's like, "I'm going to die. I can't stand the fan and this noise, and there's wind blowing on me, and I'm in pain." And her life was all about pain, and she, at the end of her rope, flew across the country looking for help, and a doctor said, "Okay, here's the way we fix this. We put you in more pain." "What? Okay, I'll try it, but I don't have any room for you." But guess what? Over across the other middle of the country in Kansas or somewhere, there's another doctor, one of my students, who now is practicing medicine for real. Well, practice, you know, it's practice, but they're over there and they're running a same trial of this, and we want you to try it. Go there and they'll do it. And the mom's, "All right, we're gonna go." And the mom's in tears and taking her daughter, and guess what? The mom is not allowed inside. She's not allowed to spend time. 3 weeks she has to walk away from her daughter, and her daughter has been in terrible pain, and her daughter now is doing push-ups, jumping into the pool, jumping out of the pool. She's working out for 6 to 8 hours a day to flood her body so that her body and her brain will rewire. Because here's what happens. If you lie to yourself all the time and say, "I'm fine," eventually your body revolts. It says you're lying. And that's what this girl had to do. So at the end of her 3 weeks, she's at the end of it, and she's on a treadmill, and she's running, and she's been in terrible pain for 3 weeks, and she's going to be in pain for quite a while longer. But she finally breaks down and starts to cry. And she's running and crying and crying and running. And she gets done with this 20-minute run or something in terrible pain. And the coach looks over to her and says, "So how are you? How was that?" And the answer is not, "It was awful, like terrible pain." You're not allowed to answer on a scale of 1 to 10. That's not acceptable. You say, "Was it hard? Was it moderate? Or was it easy?" She's like, and she throws up in the garbage can. And she gets scolded for throwing up in the garbage can. And the coach says, "Well, but how was it?" "It was hard." "All right." It was the first time she could admit that it wasn't okay. Our children are growing up with this, and this is overwhelmingly an issue for younger kids to face because they're being treated like they're snowflakes. You've heard that, right? "Oh, they're so, they can't." And at the same time, they're being told that they have to tell everybody, "It's okay, I'm okay." But here's the other. They live in a world overwhelmed with anxiety because the anxiety they face from social media alone is the same as somebody going through the Great Depression, a man lost his job and can't provide for his family. Wow, isn't that crazy? So how do they deal with this? They have to tell the truth. "Yeah, I'm in pain." But they're not going to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. They're going to say it's hard. And they're not going to go and say everything's okay because that's a lie. They have to reprogram their brain, and it takes more than a year, but they're going to be in pain. And a part of this issue is you have to admit, "I'm in pain." So this morning, the danger of "I'm fine," you know it, right? Okay, so back up. Which one are you? This morning when I walked in, some of you wanted to say, I said, "How are you?" And you said, and you really wanted to say, "I'm not okay." You really wanted to say, "Life is a pain." I'm in pain. So here's what I want you to do. Turn to your neighbor. Use two words that are not I'm fine or I'm okay. Use actual motive words that say I'm worried, anxious, frustrated, tired. Use words that have meaning and tell your neighbor two of them about yourself. Ready, go. Okay, that's more than two words. Some of you are making this into a big deal. All right, come on back. I got you all wound up. I'll never get this back. This is like, what's that? I asked for this. Okay, hey, hello, I'm still here. I got to finish this thing. Like, I get paid for this. So, anyways, here's the deal. I also wanted to tell you a couple words this morning. I'm tired. I rode a bike for 20 miles yesterday. I'm frustrated. My garage, I've got all this stuff, and I have to put it somewhere. And I have too many storage things that I don't need anymore because my wife's getting rid of everything. And you know what I'm talking about, right? So, and you were just talking about it with your neighbor, but don't do that again. Wait until we're done. Just wait a minute. So the issue is this. We know culturally that sometimes we need to say, I'm fine. It's okay. I'm good. But among people that love us and that care about us, we should be able to say, well, I'm in pain. My heart hurts. I don't feel good. I'm struggling. I'm an addict. I need help. We should be able to say these things. And we should be honest about who we are and where we are. Because it's really important for our spiritual health. Because it's not just a symptom of our brain overwiring our body and saying we have some crazy pain showing up everywhere. But it's also a spiritual condition that happens to us when we lie about how we feel. Or when we're socially appropriate and tell everybody, I'm fine. So if we're lonely, we should say, I'm lonely. Because it's important for us to speak the truth about where we are. Now, the parable of the rich fool is in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21. If you want to open there, Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21, I'm just going to quickly run through that just a little bit. So Jesus is teaching, and somebody out of the crowd yells, hey, Jesus! Tell him to give me half the money. Mom and dad are dead, and I should get my share. And Jesus says, whoa, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Your life isn't about money and stuff. It's not about that. And then he tells him a parable. There's this rich dude who has a ton of money, and he brings in a great harvest. And he goes, oh, look, I've got all this stuff. I need to make bigger barns. But that's not like us because we do not buy storage sheds. And we do not add on to our house so that we can have another garage to put more stuff. We don't do that, right? We aren't thankful when our children leave so that we can use their room for more storage. That's not us. We don't do that. And God says to this guy after he says, I'm going to take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, hey, you fool. You idiot, you moron, you stupid person. I mean, those are all the same words. I'm just putting them into modern language so you can hear them again. And God says to that person, this very night your life will be demanded from you. You're going to die. So then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? Well, did he have a will written out? Because, hey, if you've done all this hard work, you want to give it to your kids. But I don't think that's what God's saying here. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Because the very next thing Jesus goes on to, this next part, and it's the do not worry passage, which, well, you're happy we're talking about this morning after all the worry I've caused you, right? So Jesus says some things there that are very interesting. He says, don't worry about what you eat or what you drink or what you wear. He didn't talk about where you live or what you drive. They didn't have Lexuses back then. They weren't invented yet. But the Model T, now, they did have, no, I'm kidding. They didn't have the Model T. They had horses, and they had, what else did they ride? Camels and donkeys. But But the rich people might have had somebody carrying them, right? I mean, we're talking about don't worry about all this stuff. And Jesus narrows it down to eat, drink, and wear. That's it. And we're like, what about the vacation? What about the retirement? What about all these other things? And we worry and we worry and we obsess. And Jesus says, don't think about those things. Instead, consider the ravens. Consider some birds. Stop for a minute. Close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. But just go to a place that's a happy place for you where you hear birds. Think about it for a minute. And just go to a place where you hear birds and remember the birds that you see. A happy place recently for me was up on the hill, the cross. My wife and I and our kids were up there. And we had lunch up there, if I remember right. And we saw hummingbirds that were tweeting and running back and forth and back and forth. And they're making all kinds of beautiful noise. Is that a happy place for you? Hold on to that happy place. Open your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a day to your lifetime? Now, when you just took that momentary rest, do you feel better? Going and thinking about birds, did it make you feel better? It should, because you're in nature. That's a part of, like, Do you know, if you're sitting at a desk or in your house and you feel tired and you're like, I need to take a nap or get out of here, do something. They say that if you can walk through a garden, even a park where you see green trees, green grass, green stuff for just 10 minutes where you'd normally try to take that nap, you'll be more alert and alive and awake and ready to go if you take that walk versus putting your head on the table. There's something also about your brain. Your brain doesn't know the difference between taking that walk and meditating. It thinks you went there. So you should feel rested. But here's the other. We spend more time worrying than we do meditating. We spend more time worrying than we do going for walks. What if every time you started to worry, you got up and went for a walk? Now, don't do that right now, because some of you are worried and you're going to get up and go for a walk. Just hang on. But we try to add to our life by worrying. But actually, you know this. The more you worry, the shorter you live. Like, you don't get life because you're robbing your present because you're worrying about the future, and you're robbing the future because you're just caught up in worry. You have to let it go. So consider the lilies. Now go to a place where you can see flowers. Maybe it's up on that hill. Close your eyes for a minute. Just think about flowers that you love, where there's birds and it's beautiful. I remember this time I was on a trip and I was in the Alps. And it was just gorgeous, massive mountains. And the field was covered with wildflowers. And I could hear birds and there were streams going. And it was just like, oh, I want to live there. And I snapped a picture of it. Okay, come out, wake up, eyes up here. And I have a picture of it. And I just love thinking about that place because it brings me such joy. I wasn't married. I didn't have any real cares. I was in college. I'm not saying that marriage is bad. I'm just saying the people that sell marriage should say, your life is changed, really changed. And then people that say, oh, kids are great, we love them. Well, yeah, because you're already done. You raised them. We still got them. There's a lot of work goes into those things. They're just a lot of work. And I love my kids, and I love my wife. But it adds in the layer of stress, am I right? And so we need to focus on those lilies. Think about those birds. And here's the other. Seek God's kingdom, and all else will be taken care of. Here's the thing. We're chasing down so much nonsense, worried and caught up with all kinds of things. What would happen if you said, no. All I'm going to do is think about God's kingdom. And I'm not talking about the pie in the sky, later, by and by, after I die, all that nonsense. That's wonderful. But what about now? Because God said, what? Jesus said that the kingdom is here among you. That it's within you. You don't have to wait for later. In fact, most of the people of Jesus' time, when they heard him talk about the kingdom of God and about heaven, they were not thinking about after I die. They were thinking about in this life, right now, how do I enjoy God? How am I in his presence? And we say this prayer when we get through with this sermon very soon, don't worry. when we get to the end, we say the prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there's this beautiful idea of this Venn diagram of this is the earth and this is heaven. And in the garden, they overlapped completely because it's not that they're separate places. It's that they're separate, like, planes of reality, that they're separate dimensions, and that there's this idea that when you bring them back together, that's heaven eternity. And when Jesus came, he came to bring back a space where all of us can go and be with God right now. We don't have to die to get there. And that as we go through the world, we should be creating new spaces for God, where we're little by little putting heaven back on earth, where we're bringing those parts back together, where the Venn diagram comes and overlaps entirely, and we go, shalom, peace, joy, love. And so this is the struggle. If we're always worried about all the stuff, when do we spend time with God? So we need to overcome stuff and our devotion to it, our concern for it, our anxiousness about it, and people, and all the things wrapped around it. Instead, we need to chase after God. And how do we do that? Well, do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father is delighted to give you the kingdom. That's it, right there. Don't be afraid. Well, don't be anxious. Don't worry. That's easier to say than do, isn't it? But here's the other. Your Father is delighted to give you the kingdom. What? Change your perspective. Quit thinking about all the junk and start thinking about God. He is your Father. Not an earthly father. Not some crazy, whacked out dude who doesn't know how to give you what you need. Not some abusive, inappropriate, wrong guy. He's God. The greatest father of all time. Your creator. My creator. Our creator. This is God who provides exactly what you need. Not always what you want, but what you need. And this is the Father saying, I delight. I have great joy. I'm excited. I want to give you the kingdom. Oh, but what kingdom is that, God? Well, his kingdom. The difficulty is we're wrapped up in our kingdom. All this stuff, the car, the vacation, the house, the storage, the more, the retirement, and everything else, that is my kingdom. Have you noticed that about you? You're a king or a queen in your own little kingdom? And you're trying to maintain this little sense of reality that may not be exactly true, and you struggle to hold on to that, and you keep fighting for it, and maybe you're concerned about how you're going to pay the bill, or maybe you're concerned about your 401k or whatever it is, and there's all these things wrapped up with it, and you're going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? When you should be going, and I should be going, we, all of us, me, me included, overwhelmingly me included, God, what is your kingdom? What do I do in your kingdom? Who am I in your kingdom? How do I live in your kingdom? God, I want your kingdom. I want you, God. And when we do that, what happens? Well, here's the other thing. Jesus kind of said this strange, crazy thing. Give your stuff away and see God supply eternal riches. Now, that's my translation. But that's pretty much what it says. If you want the kingdom of God, you have to ramp up your anxiety. Get worried more. So you're going to step out in faith, and you're going to talk to people that you haven't talked to before and tell them, hey, I think you should know Jesus. What? No. Hey, I see you need stuff. Oh, here, take mine. But no, I don't have any. What do? I'm talking to a stranger, and I'm scared. And that is exactly what we're afraid of, isn't it? What if I don't have my stuff? What if I don't have my power? What if my political party isn't winning? What if my world isn't my way and I don't get what I want? And God says, hey, come to my kingdom. You don't get what you want, you get what you need, and it's better than what you want. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness. It's overwhelming self-discipline led by the Holy Spirit that says, it's hard, but it's good. It's challenging, but it's wonderful. And that's the joy in suffering. Because you step away from your little kingdom and you step into God's great big kingdom and you go, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Like, God is my Father and He supplies everything I need and I can walk through anything and He'll be with me. Wow. Now the difficulty is putting that to the test. Because we're going to walk out of here and you're going to go out this door and you're going to be like me yesterday. I walked out to the garage and went, why am I here? Came out here for something. What am I doing out here? I don't know. So I want you to hold on to this. The next time you worry, which might be in 1 minute, go back to your happy place and imagine it being God's kingdom. It's not just birds. It's not just flowers. It's not just mountains and paradise and the beach and all this other good stuff. It's your Father God, your brother, and your friend Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and all the people you know, just enjoying life together. Not wrapped up in all the nonsense of the world, but just giving it away. Just letting it go. My wife reminds me of that because I keep saying, but what about this? I like this. And she goes, we don't need that. And I'm like, but I bought it. I like it. I want it. And the issue is at some point I have to say no. There's this other thing I should tell you. I have this little fantasy world in my head that when I was first a preacher and things went bad, I was like, I'm going to be a garbage guy. I'm just going to go hang on the back of a garbage truck because, I mean, just picking up garbage and just throwing it in. And now I'm like, well, I don't want to drive a truck because that's what you literally just sit there and it's blah, 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 boom. I don't want to do that. So now I have this dream of living in a van down by the river. But this van is one of those camper vans that's awesome. Like a Westphalia VW that has all the stuff in it. And somehow it has this expandable part that my wife and kids come with me. And that we have so little stuff that we can drive around the world and it costs us nothing. And we like live on smiling and being happy, and you know, it's got solar, so everything's charged. We got electricity. It's not gas, so we can just drive as long as it's charged. And I know how to build it and put it, you know. I say that because we all have these dreams of how we could get out of our current life. And we could go somewhere else where it's easier, it's simpler, it's better. But the real dream is to go back to the garden, to go be with God, to be among nature, and to enjoy not fretting and worrying about all the stuff. So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's just do it now. Let's just say, we're done. I'm done with all the junk. Yes, I'm going to go to work still. Yes, I'm going to still have a house and all this stuff, but I'm not wrapped up in it. I'm not overcome by it. And if God calls me to sell it and give it away, I will. What is God calling you to? So let's check out what our faith challenges are this morning. This ought to be interesting. Any ideas? Let's see. Oh, before we get there, seek God's kingdom and all else will be taken care of. I went backwards. Let's go forwards. Give your stuff away and see God supply eternal riches. And now, this is the last scripture I want to talk about, I believe. Yes, where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. And that's why I wanted to say, give it all away. In your mind, give everything away. Imagine yourself giving it all away. Maybe go home and write a little document that says, God, I pledge to you everything I have, everything I own, all my children, all my relationships, everything this world has to offer me, I give it to you because I don't know what to do with it. I'm a mess. Thank you, your child, Andrew. You know, you would not write Andrew. You'd write your name because writing my name, that's forgery. It's another sin, I think. Faith challenges. Who is your God? Did your God create the world? Is he the creator? Is your God the sustainer of all life? Is your God pretty big, pretty awesome, pretty mighty, pretty amazing? Okay. Who is your God? Or is your God a boat? Or is your God a car or a house? Is your God the money in your bank account or in your retirement? What are you worshiping? Where's your energy going? Where's your heart? And what has your God done? All that stuff hasn't really done much, has it? But God has made the world. He's made you. He's made me. He's given us a community. He helps us to learn and to grow and mature and to become more understanding and generous with one another. And so where is your focus? Where's your heart?